Bless you tonight. Number 229 in your hymn book. Amen. I think that we can testify that he's real tonight. That he's still Hebrews 13 and 8. We see him moving in our midst. Oh, there are some things I may not know. Friend, there are some places, oh, that I can't go. But I am sure, oh, of this one thing. My God is real, for I can feel him deep within. Just how you felt when my Jesus took all your sins away. But as this that day, well, since that God has been real, oh, I can feel his Holy Ghost power. Yes, my God. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, they can go on and just leave this little bride alone. Oh, as for me, I want to take God's part. My God is real, oh friends, I feel him in my heart. Oh, my and made somebody's hand while we sing it. Oh my God.
Thankful for that tonight. Amen. God bless you. Just want to make a couple of announcements. Due to the extra crowd, our little church is already overflowing and tapped out kind of for room in the Sunday school rooms and the restrooms and different areas. So we rented a men's flushable porta potty for the brothers out there in the back. And if the weather permits and it's not pouring the rain, if you brothers could use that, that would be great to reserve this for the sisters. If it's pouring the rain, we'll just have to do our best and share and make through as best as we can. But hopefully the rain will hold off enough that we can keep doing it that way. And then wanted to announce also, Lord willing, after service Sunday morning, I'll be leaving right after service for you here, the local people. If you wonder why I slip out and don't fellowship very much, I've got to go to Lexington and preach there at 2 o'clock for Brother Luis up there. He's got a French-speaking group that me and Brother Trevor go for every once in a while and preach with an interpreter there. And Brother Trevor is going to be out of town already, so he called me and asked if I could go in his place. And I want to remember Brother Trevor and his family. They're going to be traveling this week. He's going on an evangelistic trip to preach in Florida and South Carolina and all over, about, I think, 8 different services. And so I'm sure that'll be a blessing to the people there. And Brother Luke Gibson, he's preaching over at Brother Brad's tonight. He was here last night and fellowshiped with us, and Brother Brad invited him to preach while he's in town, so I want to remember that service as well. And I want to just continue to remember these prayer requests that we've been seeking the Lord for. Sister Whitney Jones, she's been having headaches and vision loss, but the MRI came back and they said everything looks normal on that, so praise the Lord for that. And for 21 days, she had had headaches every day for 21 days, and she said the last 2 days she hasn't had any headaches, so praise the Lord for that. Amen. God's good. Amen. He's still Hebrews 13 and 8. And Brother Garland is here tonight. His brother and also Sister Patty Hansel, she's here tonight. It's her dad, Brother Ivan Milby. He's recovering from surgery, and they said his oxygen level dropped, and they just want to remember him in prayer that the Lord will just restore him. I think it's just from pain where he had surgery on the bone fracture in his hip. They think his oxygen levels dropped because of that, but just want to remember him in prayer. They've put him on oxygen to help with that, and just want to remember him for a special touch from the Lord. Also want to continue to remember Norma Dodge and Claire Olson, and also Sister Tina's Aunt Faye Walker for continued recovery. Brother Homer Frazier, that's Brother Ron's father-in-law. I want to remember him for continued recovery. And Brother James Harrington, his dad, that has a viral infection in his brain and is on antibiotics for that. I want to remember him in prayer for continued recovery. And we took the brothers and sisters that are in from out of town on a tour of Jeffersonville today. And Brother James Phillips, he was nice enough to open up the tabernacle for us and let us go through and gave us a tour and some testimonies. And we just really appreciated it. And he was showing me some pictures of his ankle. And on the side of his ankle the last few nights has swollen up about this big, big spot on his ankle. And so he was telling us about it, and I had Brother Luke and Brother Ron and some of the brothers just go over and have a word of prayer with him, and I believe he's healed, but we just want to continue to remember him in prayer that the Lord will just give him a complete healing in that ankle. And Brother Layton was with us as well, and different brothers, but amen. We believe that God is still a healer. Amen. How many has a need tonight that you'd like to be remembered in prayer? I'm asking Brother Andrew, Brother Ron's son, if he'd just come and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests, and I believe he's got a special for us. So after the prayer, you can be seated for Brother Andrew's special.
Let's all bow our heads and pray this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow in your presence just now. Lord, you are the creator of heaven and earth, Lord Jesus, and you have come by our way this evening, Lord. A God that fills all time, space, and eternity, that cares enough for his children to come down, Lord, to our humble little heart. And we invite you, Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to come down and have preeminence in this service, Lord, tonight. Lord, you see every heart, Lord, and you see every person here, Lord. You see every situation, Lord. And Lord, we know that you are still Jehovah Jireh. We know that you are still Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. We know that you are everything that we have need of tonight. Lord, as these needs went forth, Lord Jesus, we know that you heard those, God. And Lord, we know, God, when we commit them to you, Lord, and we ask them in your name. Brother Branham told us that when we ask it in your name, it's as just as if you are asking it, Lord. And so tonight, as we ask these things and believing, Lord Jesus, that you're going to move upon these situations, Lord, for the brothers that are traveling and ministering, I pray, God, that you would anoint them in a supernatural way. Lord, may you anoint their lips, Lord. The word's already anointed, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would anoint them in a supernatural way. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this congregation, Lord, and all of its work that it does. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to build it, that you continue to grow it. And I pray, God, that you would bless the pastor and all the deacons and the laity here. I ask, God, that you would be with my pastor tonight, Brother Ron Spencer, as he would come forth. Lord, I know, God, that you are going to use a man as he steps out of the way, as he denies himself. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just take complete preeminence through him, Lord. Anoint him, Lord, to come to my heart, to every heart here. Lord, you are still a discerner of the thoughts of the intents in the heart, Lord. And may you take that sharp two-edged sword and may it come to our hearts tonight. I'd ask, God, that you'd get us all out of the way tonight. And may we not look to the minister, but may we listen to that voice behind the voice. Lord, we pray, God, that you would come down in a supernatural way. We ask these things in your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. I'd like to say it's a real honor to be here with all you brothers and sisters. We've looked forward to this time for quite a while. And we'd like to thank Brother Nathan and his family for all their hospitality and just showing us around. And I have to say, we envy you for where you live at, but we don't envy your construction that you got going on around here. And so I can tell you right now, that'll make you get prayed up before you come to church. So, But we love every one of you. May not get to shake your hands, may not get to say something to you, but we want you to know you got some people in Elkton, Virginia, Grottoes, Virginia, that love you. And we love this message with everything that's within us. Amen. Let's sing that song. I'm going to sing that song, I Know My Redeemer Lives. I don't know what key I'm in, but we'll just try it anyhow. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone could catch a falling star? And I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer, He lives. Let all creation testify, let this life within me cry. And I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands hold me when I'm broken. They conquered death to bring me victory. Now I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify, let this life within me cry. And I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify, let the stop within me cry. And I know my Redeemer lives.
You have that same testimony tonight, that you know He lives. Amen. Let's try this tonight. This is my testimony tonight. Oh, it's my desire to be like Jesus. Yes, it's my desire to be like Him. Often I have failed. Lord, I brought You much shame, but it's my desire. Where I am today, oh, You know the my desire to help someone today, someone who might have failed to see this way. You see, I too once, I was so lost, but thank God I found. Stand tonight if you would. Before Brother Ron comes, let's just sing this together. I'm sure this is your testimony tonight, or you wouldn't be here. Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Since then I had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. Then and there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh friends, he's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I'd want, worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. You know there's nothing in the world that could ever take the place of God's love. All that silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. But when my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. Then and there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it in the rapture somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tried to turn me around. Oh, friends, he's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I'd won, worldly fame. If I could steal, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, yes, there's nothing in the world that could ever take the place of God's love. All your silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. Oh, I feel it now. Then and there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me. Take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make
Lord tonight. Amen. Certainly good to be back with you in the house of the Lord, and just good to see all your smiling faces. And I told this guy here, I said, if I could sing like that, I'd never preach. Amen. Do you have a good day? Amen. It's every day with the Lord, it's just really nice, isn't it? Amen. Let's talk to him just a moment. Lord Jesus, how we love you with all of our hearts. We're so honored to be in your house tonight. And Lord, we would need you to pass by one more time to come and speak to us. We realized a long time ago that we could do nothing except you do it. And Lord, I just ask you that you see the needs that would be among us tonight. I pray that you would minister to every heart. You know the individual situations. I wouldn't know them. But Father, as the word is administered tonight, I just pray that where the need would be, you just pull me aside just for a little while, Lord, to maybe deal with that. Lord, not myself knowing, but you know. And I pray that, Father, that you'd bless this congregation. Lord, I ask you that you would minister to them in a special way and touch our hearts today, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. If you will turn with me to Ruth chapter 2 this afternoon. Amen. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, this is a very important portion of this whole book. Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go to the vessels and to drink for which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me. Don't you love this?
Amen.
It hath fully been showed me that thou hast done unto my mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. And thou hast left thy father and mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward shall be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You may be seated. Amen. I would like to, I believe we're all home folk a little bit here. I'd like to take a moment here just for a moment just to thank Brother Nathan for inviting me. And all of this, maybe you don't know behind the scenes, but all of this sometimes is kind of, we don't understand how things happen, but God knows. And Brother Nathan had invited me last December, and that didn't seem to work out. And I don't like to cancel anything, but it just didn't seem to work. And you know how you try to make things work, but it just didn't seem to work. And I felt really bad about sending him a note about I couldn't come. Maybe we could come at another time. And here just a few weeks ago, he just kind of dropped me a note. And I said, you know, and one of the brothers had asked me, said, you know, if you would ever go to Jeffersonville, I'd like to go. Another brother asked me, if you ever go to Jeffersonville, I'd like to go. And I thought, what it would be nice to take a couple of days off. And so this is what you call taking days off. And so the brothers have come and their wives have come with you, but we begin to have conversation. And brother Nathan, he said, well, Wednesday night, maybe you could come Wednesday and Thursday night. And before we got done, it was Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. So I just trust that God has just done some things. We watched him today as we just kind of went on a little tour and kind of saw some things that you're very familiar with, but to us it's not too familiar. But we just had some supernatural time, both in conversation and then in what we did, and then in prayer we just felt the presence of the Lord. Directed tonight, I'd like to just kind of speak to you just for a little while, and if you help me, we'll do real well. But I'd like to speak to you on Let the Redeemed Say So. I want you to just notice in verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, and remember who he is typing, Jesus Christ. And he says, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. God knows everything, doesn't he? And thou hast left thy father and mother and the land of thy nativity, and come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Now notice this next words. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Notice how David said it, and we learned it when we was a child in Sunday school. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's more than just poetry. I shall not want. Are you with me now? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside of the still waters. I want you to just notice how personal he makes this to you. He leadeth me beside of the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and he's going to experience some of these things. There are things that you're going to experience in your life that you never thought you'd go through. Are you with me now? Amen. Things unplanned, undetermined, maybe unforeseen that would happen to you, but God had a plan, a structure for you in your life. Amen. If we could have a book of Ron, or a book of Nathan, or a book of whatever your name is tonight, and you could just sit down and read it, it would be easy as you got to the trial to be able to get through it. Right. But you never get a letter. You never get a notification. You never get a... Are you with me now? You never get a preordained word before the hand for you to grab it and then step into it. Hallelujah. Psalms 24 and verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Question, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Ruth had met a lot of men in her life, and as she had went through her young life, and now she meets the one that she's to marry, and her life is just disheveled, and it's really turned upside down. Now she finds herself in a strange land. She finds herself amongst a strange people. In a lot of ways, racial issues. In a lot of ways, nobody around to accept her. Some of us feel like sometimes we're all alone, but can you imagine just for a moment of how difficult that this was? Brother Branham speaks a sermon, Kinsman Redeemer. And he saw things that none of the other churches saw. Are you guys okay here this evening? I'm your friend. And sometimes you feel like it's difficult. But the only person that she could have actually great affection with was her mother-in-law. Let me just say, sometimes that is even strained in people's lives. And I don't mean that in an ugly way, but sometimes that's strained in people's lives. And here she has left everything. She has left everything. She's went beyond human reasoning. She's left everything and left and went with her mother-in-law. And her sister-in-law has made a decision to go back. But there's something on the inside of her. Something on the inside of her is pulling her. Maybe you cannot understand even why that you've been drawn through some of the channels that you have been drawn. But God is the one that predestinated that seed on the inside of you and has been drawing on you. If you'll remember, we can't reach up to God, but God has to reach down to us. And without Him, we're all in trouble. Even Jesus said, I can do nothing except my Father draws me. Brother Branham would stand there and said, you know, if He doesn't come, I'm helpless as I can be. And if the prophet of God and Jesus could do that, say those words quite like that, how much more in our feeble conditions? We get real starchy in our ways, and we get to the idea we can close our arms and think, well, I'm something, or I'm this, or I'm that. We're nothing. We're about worth 84 cents of chemical matter. Are you with me? We deal in that kind of thing. We buy copper. We buy a lot of things and elements of the world, and we trade that thing in the natural. That's the way my boys make a living. We trade chemicals and we trade stocks and all those kinds of things. I'll tell you what a human being, Brother Brown said, was worth 84 cents. 84 cents. It's not worth a whole lot. It won't buy you a McDonald's hamburger. Are you with me? We dress it up. We pumped it up. We comb its hair, and sometimes it's curly in the rain. And you know, sometimes we get real agitated with this 84 cents. But God, eternally, before the foundation of the world, saw something on the inside of you that He thought of before the foundation of the world. He knew where you were at. And maybe you would even think that you would be ashamed of your past life and ashamed of where you come from. But God knew where He deposited that seed. He knew where He deposited it. So in His divine wisdom, knowing your strengths of your humanity, He knew where He deposited it, so He knew where to find it. There was a woman. You and I would have never chosen this kind of woman to be one of the lead witnesses in our church. But Jesus had to go by her way.
Amen.
And the disciples maybe couldn't understand. So He sent them away to buy some things. And Jesus Himself had to go have a little one-on-one conversation with her. Aren't you glad that He can do that?
Yes.
Now, He knew where she was at. And He wasn't ashamed to go where she was at to get her. Now, this well, it watered a whole lot of people, but it was only a certain time that this girl could come. And she had quite a stained past. She had had five husbands, and the one that she was living with was not her husband. But Jesus said on her well, No doubt there's a lot of rabbi had passed by and they could not feel the thirsting that was in her soul. All right. But Jesus knew the seed that was on the inside of her. She became religious when he began to talk to her. She became extremely religious because she had a religious spirit on her. But that didn't quench the thirst in her soul. A lot of people are religious and they can put on a really good front. But God can look right past your front and see the longing in your heart. Are you with me just now? He can see the longing in your heart and he knows where you're at. He knows your situation. Aren't you glad that he knows your situation, yet he's not ashamed of you? Boaz knew the situation, but he wasn't ashamed. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. Sometimes you sit beside of people on pews, you don't know where they came from, you don't even know how they got there, but God put them there. God knows exactly how to do the whole situation. She sat on the well and she began to respond. The difference between this man and all the other men that she had met in her life is they presented to her wrong roads. But this man presented the right road. He had water that she would never thirst again. Are you with me now? She would not need another man to fix her. Are you with me? If you ever meet him just right, it'll take care of your need. If you ever meet him just right, I've said this before in young people's conventions, I've said it all over the world. If you meet him just right, and God births you, you'll never have to worry about Alcoholics Anonymous. You'll never have to worry about the drug addiction. It'll take care of it in a moment's notice. It will literally be gone. Listen, you apply the token to your home, but the greatest thing that your children can do is meet him personally. And when they meet him personally, when they meet him, you don't have to worry about it anymore. In our home, one of my sons is here. And we have several pictures in our home, and one of them is Brother Biscoll took the picture and his daughter painted the picture. I'm sure you've seen it of Brother Branham sitting beside of a fire. And the story behind that is they had built the fire and they were in the wilderness, and he told Brother Biscoll to sleep. And Brother Biscoll had slept, and Brother Branham had watched the fire and kept the animals at bay. And he had sat there and watched, and when it came to Brother Branham's turn to pray, to get up, Brother Branham went to sleep, and he said he kind of sat where Brother Branham was sitting. I like this about the story. He said, I could tell that the prophet and the Lord Jesus had been talking. He said, because that atmosphere was there. And he said there, he laid and he could just feel the presence of the angel of the Lord. A lot of people come to church. A lot of people are raised in preachers' homes. And that picture, Brother Branham snapped that picture earlier in the evening. And Brother Biscoll really liked that, and so his daughter painted it. And she painted it on several occasions, several times before he got approved. And he said it was the eyes that he wanted to have just right. And finally, it was just right, and one of those copies hangs in our home. And I would tell my boys, It's good to know William Branham. And I want to say this with great respect. It's good to know William Branham. But it's more important to know the God that lived on the inside of him. Because many people can take on roles, get under influences of men, and literally become a character like that other man. And get under the influence of that. Brother Man says, somebody's watching your life. Actors do that. Whether it's Moses and Cecil DeMille's, Charlton Heston literally become Moses. Whether you know it or not, Charlton Heston had a real hard time leaving that role. Because he played it for months and literally had to do some counseling to literally get himself pulled out of that role to become Charlton Heston again. That's what an actor can do. Pharisees have the same gifts. Are you with me now? Pharisees have the same gift. They can step into the role of a Christian or a deacon or a preacher, and they can play the part. But if you don't have the life, you've missed the whole thing. You got to have the life. It's not enough to have your mom and dad's experience. You got to have the life. You got to meet him personally for yourself. And let me just say, Ruth is there. And she's spending intimate moments now with Boaz. There's another woman in the field that he's talking to like this. Not another woman in the field that he's talking to. It's just her and him. Others are dispersed doing their thing. And Boaz tells her, don't go glean in another field. That's why it's got to be of ultimate importance to us. We don't go glean in another field. This world's full of voices. But we've heard a voice. Are you with me? But so many are not satisfied with this voice. Are you with me? This voice that's came to us in this day, and she was commissioned, don't glean in another field. Amen. Oh, I like that. Amen. This is where your redemption's at. Oh, but Brother Ron, others are saying they're not the part to play this bride. Amen. Understand, the world's going to play their part, but the bride must play her part. Hallelujah. Prophet of God is standing and he's getting prepared to speak the rapture. He does not go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Doesn't go to Luke. He doesn't go to the book of Revelations. He goes to Psalms. Psalms chapter 27. Let me just share a couple things with you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing that I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. Of all the scriptures that Brother Branham picks, he picks the condition that you and I are going to live in. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up about mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Notice the response, even in the condition of the hour. I will worship. I will testify. I will witness. I will testify of my condition. I will utter out what God is speaking to me. Watch these words now. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto me, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me and put not my servant away in anger. I love how David is saying these words. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. You ever felt lonely? You ever felt like God's 10,000 miles away? Brother Ron, you're way off course. Brother Branham said, he left me and I felt like an orphan child. Are you with me? Sometimes he leaves you to stand alone all by yourself. It's between you and God. Oh, Brother Ron, nobody else is going through the trial. He's with you. When my father and mother has forsaken me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such breathe out cruelty. Notice these words. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Our energies will not get us through. Are you with me? Our energies will not get us through. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 91, and I'm going to the great quote book tonight, and you just share. Just enjoy this, if you will. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the mighty, of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. What does Psalms 91 have to do with the book of Ruth, Brother Ron? You must learn he is the only place of refuge. Are you with me? It's not in your politicians. It's not even in your pastor. It's not in your favorite preacher. It's in him. Are you with me now? My God, in whom I will trust. Surely he hath delivered thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth is thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. When you read your newspaper and your news on your internet and those things there, and the world is falling around you, and sin is at every hand. Brother Branham spoke on this world falling apart and this generation becoming more insane and more insane. It looks like by the day it's becoming more insane. Are you with me? And there's a pressure from hell that is around, literally feeling like pressing you. But listen, I got good news for you. You were built for this hour. You were built for this hour. God knew when you'd be born. He knew what day that you had arrived. He knew what word that he had to keep you in this moment. He is your shield. He is your buckler. You have a covenant with God. Are you with me now? You have a covenant with God. And listen, you must make sure in this dark hour where your source of strength is. There's no protection outside of this field. Are you with me? I want to just keep tying that just for a little bit. There's no protection outside of this field. We're all falling apart. Stay under that token. Now watch this. It's very familiar to us. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. And he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it where our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now notice these words. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Boaz knew Ruth's griefs. He knew the things that she was going through, but he had a protection for her. Amen. Are you with me now?
Amen.
He carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. Are you with me? Before you even arrived. Now, I want to just think on this just for a moment. Isaiah's writing these things, and we don't know exactly where he was writing them, but God was having his prophet to put whatever, and I'll use for the lack of a better term, pen to paper, and he was writing it down thousands of years before you ever arrived. Your kinsman redeemer was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. He took the stripes at Pilate's judgment hall so you could be healed. Are you with me now? I was standing at Brother Harold Hildebrandt's convention, and one of the head deacons there, which is a personal friend of mine, he'd wandered out into the parking lot, and he was just checking some things around because sin is everywhere and mischief is everywhere. And he walked out there, and there was a man that was up to some mischief. And he said, "You ought to go in the building tonight." He said, "You know," he said, "we got a guy in there that was supposed to be dead, and he's preaching."
Amen.
He was burned, and he laid in a coma, and they gave him up, and he's in there preaching. And who knows? He could be left here to preach to you. I'm not here to waste your time. I'm not here to waste your time. I'm not even here to entertain you. I quit that a long time ago. I was in theater when I was a boy. I had a 4-year scholarship to be an actor. I could have had all of that. But we're not here to be actors. We're not here to be entertainers. I could care less if you know my name. But what I want you to know is God has a reason for me to be here tonight.
Amen.
And I believe before I ever walk to a pulpit that God's got somebody that's wanting to hear this word.
Amen.
And he has preserved my life, Brother Trevor, to speak to your heart. And he knows where you're at, and he knows what your condition is.
That's right.
And he knows exactly how to come to you.
Amen.
And Boaz came to her, to Ruth in a certain spot. And Jesus came to the woman at the well at a certain spot. Both of them had what they needed. This message has everything that you need for your journey. Are you with me now? Well, Brother Ron, I can't find it. You've got to spend some time with it.
Amen.
You must remember Revelation chapter 10 says, eat the book.
Amen.
That's just not for the preachers.
Right.
Are you with me now?
Amen.
You got to eat the book. Well, I'm going to listen to my favorite preacher, and I'm going to listen to this, and then I'm going to listen to that one. Listen, you got to eat the book
Amen.
For yourself.
Right.
See what it says about you. I want to be very personal now. I watched Brother Nathan today. One of his boys was at Voice of God. And he said, I want to get a book. I don't even know if his little boy can read at this point. But he said, I don't want to get a book. And so Brother Nathan said, I'll get you the book. And it took me back many years ago. I was a boy. I was a boy. I don't even know if any of you know this man or not, but at Brother Fulcher's church, that's where I grew up. And I grew up, and there was huge racks, just literally huge racks of the books. There'd be stacks of books over there. I remember it, and we had a shaven church. And at that time, we had probably 400 or 500 people in it, And I was a drummer. You don't like drums, just forgive me just for a bit. I remember Brother Fulcher as a boy. You know, he put me on the drums. We didn't have a drummer, and my dad was the associate pastor. And he was quite a preacher in those days. And he showed me how to play the drums, and he prayed for me. And Brother Fulcher could sing real fast. And so he'd say, beat those drums. And so after a while, I finally got it down. But I grew up in church, and I grew up listening to my father or listening to tapes. I remember hearing the life story, and I'd lay on my bed and just weep. And the Spirit of the Lord would come. My dad instructed us as little boys, get your own library. As we would learn to read, he'd say, mark it. And he said, he would show me. He said, mark it. Mark it what speaks to you and make a little note there. And he builds your own library. Now, you can, it's fine to come get mine, but mine's personal. Now, mine's mine, and we have to understand that my library is my library, and you build your own library, and you let this message become personal and see what it says to you. I remember when I became converted somewhere around 1983, and Dad and I were having a private moment, and he looked at me, and he says, now, I'm going to give you a book that's very important to you. He said, it's a church-age book. You need to cut your teeth on that. And you need to spend time with that book, and you need to go through that book from cover to cover, and you need to look it over backwards and forwards till you get it for yourself. Are you with me? You know, sometimes we want to argue about things we don't even know what we're talking about. You know, we want to build fences, or we want to do all of this, and what we really should just spend time with the book. We just need to spend time with the Lord Jesus and this message and just let it live. I want to tell you, there's no rapturing faith in Fox News. There's no rapturing faith on Sports Center. There's no rapturing faith in all of these magazines of the world. But this message has got rapturing faith in it. Are you with me now? I hope you allow me to be just real at home here for a bit. Because Ruth had to come to a place, and I've read you some very common scriptures, and you know these scriptures almost by heart. Psalms 23, Psalms 91, Isaiah 53. And you know those scriptures by heart. And maybe you even got a little bit bored because I noticed how you did.
It's all right.
I've been preaching for quite a little while. So I know how an audience will begin to just kind of relax. We've heard this before, but I'm going to come right to your door now. Because this is not a love affair with a preacher. This is a love affair with him. Marriages become deteriorated because people fall out of affection with one another. And they become, their eyes get focused on jobs and homes and the relationship. I know where I'm at now. And relationships begin to deteriorate and pull apart. We have an enemy. We have an enemy that wars on your relationship, because church don't start here, it starts at home. And wars. And listen, you got to make sure that that love affair is more than just some blink of an eye, some tickle up and down your spine. But it's an eternal relationship. She's not your old lady and he's not the old man. But this is a love affair. And it's a reflection of what God and his love is for us. Sometimes we sing, "Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his amazing grace." But how much does he want to see us? He has been waiting on you, and in his design and in his determination, he made sure that your seed was birthed. Your natural seed had to come through all of those wombs. Through hundreds and even thousands of years, he was determined to get you here. You heard those things last night. Now he's determined to spend time with you in the field. He is determined to spend time with you. Scripture says, eat the book. There's some parts of the book we don't understand.
Amen.
There's some parts of the book that we kind of sometimes get out of focus. But it's all in the book.
Amen.
There's parts of the book we don't like. It would be easier if we didn't have to preach. But it says eat the whole book.
Amen.
Brother Ron, I like this part, but I don't know about this part. Brother Ron, I see this brother or this sister, or I see that one, or this church or that one. Just spend time with the book.
Amen.
Just spend time with him. Amen. This is a personal walk. Now Jesus comes down to the end of the chapter of the rapture, and he's on the scene. He's only got a few hours to live. And he's going to explain the season of the rapture. And he says there'll be two in the field. One will be taken. Two at the meal. One will be taken. Two in the bed. One will be taken. Notice what he's doing. Now personal rapture. Universal, but it's personal. It's you and God. It's not you and your wife and your children. It's you and God.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord had to remind Brother Branham, you must be more sincere. We had some pretty interesting talks today. You must be more sincere. I was just in Europe, and a man told me the story. You know, there's a lot of stories that you hear never on a tape. Those stories are generally very sacred to the individual that's telling it to you. There was a minister's gathering. They were eating. They were eating a meal. It's a pretty large table. Brother Branham was sitting at the table, and many have told me the same thing, that Brother Branham was probably the quietest man at most big tables. The man that was hosting the meeting said to Brother Branham, said, there's a man that keeps walking around the table. Why don't he take a seat? Brother Branham just spoke to him, said, that's the angel of the Lord. He won't be needing a seat.
Glory. Amen.
Man that walked in that realm and was able to be given the sacred responsibility to speak this message, yet had to be reminded you need to be more sincere. Brother Trevor, that almost makes me shake. It almost makes me tremble of the personal walk that the prophet had with the message, with the angel of the Lord, and still was being reminded, be more sincere. We know at communion, we come to a certain spot and the scripture said, examine yourself. And it's an opportunity for us to look very deeply, and I take it very sacredly, to look very deeply within ourselves and examine ourselves to see where we're at. I can only imagine at the communion, the Last Supper, Jesus is sitting at the table. Sometimes we take things very for granted, but those disciples were very, they watched him, how he did and how he operated. Let me just stray here just for a moment. Even the place where he had picked out to have the communion, he told them to go follow a man that had a pitcher and follow him. He's got a room and it's prepared and we'll have the supper. They didn't know the man. But they had been very familiar. They'd seen him do things like this. Go get a colt. The foal of an ass. Peter, you guys are concerned about your taxes. Brother Bram said he always had a fishing hook in his pocket. Every time they get around water, he put the hook down in the water. And told him, he said, I want you to put your hook in the water and you're going to pull a fish out and you're going to open its mouth and it's going to have money in it. It's going to have money and then go pay the taxes. Well, that, you know, to the unbeliever or the skeptic, that seems like a far cry. But God knew where there was a caribou with 42-inch horns. And on the same hunt, there's going to be a silver-tipped grizzly bear killed. Are you with me? Now, I don't doubt either of those stories. Whether it's a fish with a coin in the mouth, or it's a 42-inch horns, or it's a silver-tipped grizzly bear, listen, because he's that same kind of God to me. Are you with me just now? He's your provider. He's your provider. Not 40 years ago. He's your up-to-date provider. Amen. Brother Alden that sits right here on the corner. He's got a young man. He actually works with us sometimes. And he's an incredible boy. And he'd be embarrassed that I even talk about him tonight if he was sitting here. Was an incredible young man. But he got a fever one morning. And his fever began to escalate. And they called us to the house to pray for him. And I remember Sister Tracy when we walked into the room. And he was there. He was there in your living room. And he's very bad condition. And we prayed with him. His fever began to escalate. They took him to the same hospital to which that I was in the burn center. And his fever kept getting higher and higher and higher. I went to the hospital that night, and as I walked into the room, Brother Alden's a buddy. I walked in the room, and I could just see it on his face. And the words that he says, he doesn't waste words or doesn't mince words. He said, the doctor says he's brain damaged. And I said, we have a report. Isaiah 53.
Yes.
And I pulled a prayer cloth like you did today. And we prayed for Brother Adam. And he was laying there twisting. I turned around to him and I said, he'll be all right. Now he'll be all right. Just like that. And as I walked out of the room, we shook hands with those that was in the room, and we walked out, and I didn't have one nervous thought about this. If I leave him, here's a boy that's going to be damaged in his brain the rest of his life. I just knew everything was all right. And before we got home, he was starting to respond. And he's quite a sharp guy right now. He's got everything provided.
Amen.
Boaz said to Ruth, stay in the field. Yes. Stay with me just for a moment. I was sitting and I was studying. It's been 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago. As I was sitting in my, I've got a red sofa chair that leans back, and I kind of like it. It's, as you get older, you need those things. And there was a girl that had been kind of outside of the church, and she'd been kind of in the world in her nature and never really give her heart to the Lord. And I prayed for her a lot, and she'd been sick several times and been right at death's door before. And I got a call that evening. It was almost 9 o'clock. I was studying for the weekend services, and the sisters were at the church, and they were just doing some things, and they called in desperation and said, Tabitha is dying. And they'd give her up. Would you just pray for her? And so I gave the normal answer that I would do, much like you got a request today. And I went to prayer and I prayed. And as I hung the phone up, I just sat there just a few more moments, and something just spoke to my heart. You need to go and pray for her personally. So I called them back and I said, you know, I prayed for her here at the home, but something's speaking to me to go pray for her. So I got in the car, I got myself ready, and I drove an hour to the hospital. And you guys have drove that many times. And I drove the hour to the hospital and parked my car and went up in and walked into the ward where she was at. And her husband was sitting there, the daughters were sitting there, a 24-hour nurse was sitting attending, and others were coming in and out. And she was almost as green as this cap. Her eyes were rolled back into her head. I sat down with her husband, and we just began to talk. And he began to go over the funeral plans and these things, and we talked for about a half an hour. Finally, I come to the end of it, and I said, you know, I said, I don't believe that God spoke to me to come to this hospital and to quit my study for me to come and talk to you about funeral plans.
Amen.
Never forget, I just kind of stepped over and I kind of took her, and I always be very careful how I do, but I kind of took her by the side of her head, and I kind of clasped her ear about right into there, right there, and I turned her head. She's a little bitty girl, probably weighed 90 pounds at that time, and I just kind of tilted her head this way, and she hasn't talked to anybody for days. And I kind of tilted her head this way, and I called her name. I said, Tabitha, look at me. And her eyes just rolled down out of her head, and she looked right straight at me. And I said, I've come to pray for you. I've come to pray for you. And God's going to heal you. Now there's tension in the room. And I just prayed. And I never felt lightning, and I never felt anything. And I turned around to her husband. I said, tomorrow she'll walk down the hall with you. And as I was walking out, the nurse said, you do know what her condition is. I said, oh yeah, I know. I know what her condition is, but I know what he told me to say. Are you with me? He's still the same God today. Now, I just told you just a couple things to remind you. He's that same kind of God here in this service. I wasn't surprised the next day to get a call. Brother Ron, a miracle happened. Tabitha's walking down the hall. It didn't convert her. She didn't come to church and become a true pillar of... But God's a provider. Amen. How many of the people that Brother Branham prayed for never became in his congregation and became loyal members, but it was a healing for them. Amen. But God did something. Amen. More than just heal your body. He quickened the seed on the inside of you. Amen. Are you with me? He provided for you. Revelation chapter 12 says it like this. Said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let's just listen to Jesus' testimony in the hours before Calvary. And Jesus answered to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Notice these words. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Are you with me? You're talking about full trust and full confidence of knowing where you're at. And he's standing only hours before the worst death ever in the history of humanity. He's going to pay your complete redemption. And here he stands and says, my kingdom is not of this world. I was thinking as I was sitting in the office and I was just looking over these words. And I hear the same enemy that whispered into his ears. And I have to remind that enemy, this is not my home. This is not my home. I am just a pilgrim. This is just a temporary dwelling that I'm in. He's raised me up many times and healed my body, but this is all temporary. I'll just share something with you I haven't shared in too many places. But after 36 hours of literally within in a non-responsive state after almost a month in a coma, Brother Tim Prutt, his wife and Sister Connie and my father and mother was in the room. And I had came to. Talk about a miracle. The nurse lady would tell us that they were getting ready to harvest my organs. God wasn't done with them yet. I'm not pretty, but God wasn't done with it yet. But in that state, and this is not delusional, it's not hypo, I saw the prophet of God as a young man. You know, when I hear these critics criticize the message, I wonder who'll meet them at the river. Let's just lay it all down. Jesus, this is some of his last words. My kingdom is not of this world. I'll tell you what, you do business when you're right down at your last ebb. You do real business right there. And that's why I can stand with confidence. And I've stood in a lot of places with confidence, knowing who I am because of him. And I saw Brother Branham as a young man. And here I'm seeing Brother Branham, and I've talked to Sister Connie about others being in the room. And Brother Tim recognized that I was standing between two dimensions. Listen, that does something to your life.
Amen.
Young people, I want to say to you, this world is very temporal. I've got a nice piece of property at home. You'd probably like to come to my house. And I'll just kind of take you there for a moment. I live on about 90 acres of woods. It's about a mile. It's actually almost 9/10 up my driveway. It's gravel most of the way, and then you come up to a certain spot and it's paved. It's paved up a little hill, and then it's paved through my gate, and it comes up to the end of my driveway. You've been there. But I'm taking him there.
That's right.
It's a cedar cabin. It's got three bedrooms in it. Thank the Lord, three bathrooms in it. It's wood floor all the way through it. It's not a real bad place to be at. I can turn the lights off, and other than Brother Andrew's house over here now, because he moved into paradise as well, I can turn the lights off, and it's just my house is like a telescope with all of those woods. It's just literally you can see right into the heavens, and I just love to hear, we've got a bobcat there, and I just love to hear the bobcat cry. We've got foxes. And we've got those whippoorwills, and we've got crickets, and we've got night sounds that just drive you nuts if you're not careful. You know, I hear Brother Branham said, "I'd like to come to your house and sit on your porch." You'd really like to sit on my porch and sit there. And you know, we've got three rockers. I don't get to occupy them very much, but we've got three rockers, and I've got rails to where you can put your feet up on, and you can just relax. A lot of people come to my house and put their feet up on the rail with me, and they go, "This is heaven. This is just heaven." Well, I kind of like it there myself. But you know what? It's only temporary. The government could come and put an interstate through it tomorrow. They sent me a letter here a while back. They want to put a pipeline through it. I hope they don't do that. But you know, all of it's just real temporary. Just real temporary. But I want to take you to another place. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you." Now, Brother Branham said, that's not brick and mortar. Are you with me? I'm closing, and I'm now closing into where I want to be. Ruth looked at Boaz, and he had everything in order for her. She had come to a phase in her life. She'd come to a phase in her life. The struggle was over. The disdain of being a widow from a foreign land, struggling for food, struggling for water, struggling for identity, struggling for acceptance. I feel like shouting through this building. Struggling for all the things that she had went through in her life. Boaz just told her, "I got it taken care of for you." I don't know what you feel like tonight, but I sure feel real nice. If I could remind you just now, when you listen to Future Home, he's talking about your place. He's talking about your parks. He's talking about your avenues. When he's thinking of things that are to be, he's not just standing there telling you pretty words. He's projecting the mind of God to the bride of Jesus Christ. I want to say this to you. The Methodists were the greatest speakers as they are. They didn't get told this word. I've stood in huge cathedrals overseas. Huge cathedrals. And look up 300 and 400 feet high. Huge statues. It didn't come to them. It came to a manger. It came to a little mission house. It came to my cabin. Hallelujah. The song says, He came to me. He knew where you were at. He knew what your condition was. And He has it all provided. I want to come down to the end of this. I want to say, what's the struggle all about? What is the struggle all about? He's got it provided. Psalms 23. Was it an accidental scripture that was put there? No. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can I share one more story? We were called, there was a little afflicted girl that was kin to my father-in-law. They had the funeral at a huge Methodist church. Your father was there, Brother Alden. I think, Brother Randy, your father was there. It had two women pastors. They sat on the back, and I don't know how many hundred people that this place would sit. Friends of that young lady came, and she had lived, I think, to close to 60. She was afflicted. My father-in-law had had open heart surgery and he was very weak. He could hardly stand up at that time. Sister Connie, do you think that was open heart he had at that point? They'd opened his lung up. He'd been through several operations. And he was literally ashen white. He could hardly speak, but they wanted him to speak the funeral, and he was not strong enough. And so I was with him. It's only been just a few years ago. I stood beside the casket, and I didn't know the family. I didn't know hardly anybody in the building, maybe less than 10 people that was there. I stepped to the pulpit of this massive place and I just began to sing, Yes, Jesus loves me. I tell you, I've never felt it that real in that spot. And I began to sing it. I'm not a good singer, but I just began to sing it. The hallowed presence of the Lord came down. And that building was just filled with the presence of the Lord. I walked to the graveyard. Brother Homer, I just kind of held him, and we walked to the graveyard. And a few comments. When we finished at the grave, one of the women pastors walked up and shook my hand. She told me how many years that she'd been the pastor there. She said, I want to tell you something. We've never had a presence like that in this building. I was shocked to hear her say that. We've never had a presence like that in this building. Well, it wasn't me.
Amen.
It was Him.
Amen.
And there was never a presence in Ruth's life like Boaz. There's none like Jesus. And I want to say to you, this meeting is not in vain. He's come to speak directly and in a very personal way to your heart. And I'm going to close with this. We live in very troubled times. I want to say to you, spiritually, you feel like you almost need to be on Valium. There's pressure everywhere. You can't go anywhere without pressure. But He knows what you're going through. And He has provided for you. He's provided for you. Isn't that a wonderful God? I don't know for sure how she felt when she laid at His feet. I read one place in a writing that Ruth laid so still she could hear Boaz's heartbeat. But she knew it was all taken care of. That ought to cause us to feel real confident tonight. People are getting shot. Bombs are dropping. People are hating people. Sodom is everywhere. There's tormenting conditions that's going on. Insanity's in the streets now. It's not just in insane institutions. It's not just in prisons. It's at Kmart. It's at Walmart. It's at Kroger's. It's at Food Lion. It's on your job. He says, I've got this taken care of for you. Let not your heart be troubled. What a thought. What a thought. Thank you for sharing this afternoon with me. Let's pray. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you'd like to just say, Brother Ron, there's a lot of trouble in my life. A lot of trouble. And the Lord knowed exactly what I needed tonight. Would you just like to raise your hand before the Lord? Thank you. Yes. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Hallelujah. I know this is a Thursday evening, but I'd like for those that with your hands up, just if you could just real quietly stand, and if you could. Hallelujah. This is real intimate, very personal. Hallelujah. You're not alone in this battle, but I want to talk to you just now. He's with you. Let's just talk to Him right now. Almighty God. Lord, as I've preached, I've watched certain things in this congregation and how You've dealt with certain hearts. It's You that's mindful of each individual. You'll call a meeting just to speak to one. But hands up all over the building, people standing. Now, Lord Jesus, just like Ruth and the woman at the well and many that the prophet of God called out, You knew their conditions. You know where we're standing. You know what we're going through tonight. One more time, You've reminded us, and Lord, let us never let this become common to us or familiar to us. You've got it taken care of. You are our provider. I heard Brother Andrew as he was praying earlier tonight. You're Jehovah, and every compound name, you've got it taken care of. Lord, we bring our need to you right now. Lord, we could mark this on a calendar. We could mark this place. In a very quiet moment, Boaz spent some very intimate time with Ruth. Don't go to another field. Go drink. Go drink. Take the seeds. This is yours. This has all been provided for you. Don't go to another field. I've seen your condition. I've seen where you've come from. The Lord will recompense your work. Oh, God. Lord, you've seen our sacrifice in life. You've seen our difficulties. You've seen the turmoils that we went through. And you provided a word for this hour. You provided for us, Lord Jesus, spiritual food in due season. We have stood to our feet and we brought our needs before you just now. Whether it would be family matters. God, you know how to take care of those things. Whether it be financial matters, you know how to take care of those things. But Lord, our greatest need tonight is to draw closer to you. No matter how long that we've served you, just to draw closer to you is what we need. Lord, my need, Ruth's need, was to get closer to Boaz. All the woman at the well needed was more of you. Lord, we have to be very sincere now. I need more of you as well. Lord, whether we felt anything tonight or not, that's not the situation. But something tugged on the heartstrings. Lord, you've came and you've answered some real questions, and I've watched how you did it. And we call that sovereign. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Go to every pew right now. Every heart. Go to that need right now. Oh God, and we receive it. All Ruth could do is just worship. We just love you tonight. We just love you tonight. Oh, we ask you that you touch us this afternoon. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Do you know that song, I Need More of You? Yeah. I need more of you. Amen. Andrew, would you come and... I need more of you.
Dear Savior, fill
fill me with nothing less. Oh, I need more of you. Give me your love, and this world can have the rest. Lord, all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now from the start to the I've got to have more of you. Lord, I need more of you in me. Let's sing it again. Oh, I need more of you. Yes, Father, that's what we need tonight, Lord. Oh, that's the way it's got to be. Oh, I need more. There's no room left in me. I could never get enough of your peace, your strength, your joy, and your love. I need more of you. Lord, this bride needs more of you. We've got to have more. So many things in the services already. Last night I had a song on my heart to sing and just ran out of time, and Brother Joshua kept his kind of pressuring me tonight. He said, what key are you starting in? I said, well, I'm starting in G, and I don't like to tell the musicians hardly anything about what I'm doing because I want them just to feel led for that opening song because I've seen God do so much. And he said, well, is it a fast song or a slow song? He was wanting to know, pick his first song to match my first song. I said, Brother Joshua, you do whatever you want. It's kind of a faster song, but I'd rather you just do what you feel led. He picks a song in B flat that's a slow song. It's a song I had on my heart last night. And then Brother Ron, you might have noticed when he started preaching, I started crying when he read his title. And that's because earlier this week, I was on Brother Tim's website and watched part of their family camp. And it was real late at night. You forgive me tonight. But I feel his presence here and just seeing how he works. Being a pastor, you may not realize what it is sometimes, but a lot of that late night studying, sometimes the family goes to bed way before me. And so I was up one night late studying and went to bed, just laying there awake. Rebecca was already asleep in the bed beside me, and pulled up Brother Tim's camp on my phone, and Brother Ron begins to preach this sermon. And I thought, that's what our church needs to hear. And any service, Brother Late and I were just talking about it recently, there may be some that come in, they think, I've heard that 50 times. Why is he preaching that? And somebody else think, that's exactly what I needed to hear, and I've never heard it like that. Because we're different people with different personalities and different needs. And I'm very careful not to pressure a minister what to preach on. So I just left it alone. But Brother Ron probably preaches 100, 150 sermons every year. He didn't have to pick this one tonight. But it was the one that he preached there that I thought, God, that's what we need to hear. God works on both ends of the line. Something that Brother Ron's been struggling with, I won't go into details because it affects his church, but something that he's been receiving pressure about and dealing with, and some of the people leaving his church and giving him pressure over something very specific. And we went on a tour today, and a man he'd never met gave him the answer he'd been looking for. God is supernatural, and he does things that can't be explained. He's mindful of us. He's mindful of our needs. He's mindful of you tonight. Whatever you're going through, this didn't happen by accident. This didn't happen just because I text Brother Ron and because he texts me. God predestinated this before the foundation of the world. He knew where you'd be sitting. He knew what your attitude would be tonight if you'd come expecting, if you'd come and say, well, Brother Ron, he didn't preach the way I expected him to, or he didn't do this or he didn't do that. He knew what your attitude would be towards the service. He knew there'd some maybe come and think, well, I've heard better preaching than that. And some would come and say, that's what I've been looking for. That's what I've been needing to hear. God knew what your attitude would be. He knew what your condition would be. He knew before Adam breathed the breath in his lungs at the creation of the world, of the creation of man, he knew where you'd be sitting, what your attitude would be, what you'd be thinking, what you'd be wearing, who you'd be sitting beside. He knows everything. If he knows all that, he knows about your need tonight. He knows about what you're going through. I'm not going to get up and preach behind Brother Ron, but I just had this on my heart. And let's just sing this together. This is how I feel tonight. In moments like these, I sing out a song. Oh, I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. Oh, I lift up my hands to the Lord. Worship him tonight. He's worthy of your worship. Oh, singing out. Oh, how I love you, Lord. Singing out. I love you, Lord. I love. Let's just sing it without the music together. The bride singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Can you imagine how it makes him feel to hear you sing it like that? Let's sing it again without the music. Singing, oh, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. You're my provider. Yes, Father, you are more than enough for me. Thank you, Jesus. Jehovah Rapha. Oh, you're my healer. By your stripes, Lord, I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, Lord, you
much more than enough. Oh, you are more. Yes, Father. Is that how you feel tonight about Him? Let's sing it again. Oh, Jehovah Jireh, Lord, you're my provider, and you are more than enough. When everybody else fails, when everything else is gone, He's more than enough. Jehovah Rapha, oh, even when I'm sick, Lord, you're praise. He's worthy of our worship. Jehovah Jireh, Lord, you're my provider. Whatever I have need of, Lord, you supply than enough for me. Oh, you feel His presence here tonight. He's mindful of you. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We thank you for this great presence that we feel here tonight, Lord. We thank you for speaking to hearts, Father. We thank you for being in the midst, Father. Even in the midst of the storm, Lord, yet you're right there with us, Father. Even in the middle of the battle, yet you go with us, Father. Even in the middle of the trial, you give us strength, Father. Oh, Father, in the valley of the shadow of death, you said you wouldn't leave us. Said you never forsake us, Father. Oh, we thank you that the shout of the King is in the camp tonight, Father. Lord, that we've got the truth marching before us, Father. Just help us to stand behind that truth, Father. Help us never to waver to the left or to the right, Father. No matter how many falls to the left or to the right, Father. Lord, help this little bride just to get back in line tonight, Father. Help us to forget our petty differences and the politics and everything that would hinder our fellowship, Father. But let this bride of Jesus Christ mount up with wings of eagles, Father. Oh, Father, may you sweep over us again tonight, Jesus. We need you, Father. We need your strength for the journey. We need your mercy. We need your grace, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, come and speak to your people tonight, Father. Oh, how we need you, Father. We can't make it through the journey without you, Father. We don't have strength without you. We don't have courage without you. But if you'll just come and do something within us, Father, stir our hearts. Give us the faith that we need, Lord. Oh, in this dark hour where there's so much evil, deception and corruption, Father, but may the bride of Jesus Christ just find, Lord, you in that cleft of the rock. Father, may you hide us from the storm. May you hide us from the evil. May you hide us from all the unbelief, Father. Lord, may there be no unbelief found in us, Father. Oh, we believe, Father, tonight. Help our unbelief. Father, any doubt, anything in our mind, Lord, that would hinder us, let us just cast it away tonight, Father. Any sin that would so easily beset us, Father, help us to lay it aside. Any little old besetting sin that's hindering our relationship with you, Father God, help us to lay it aside and to run with patience.
this race that you set before us, Father. Lord, you're doing something supernatural tonight. Men can't produce this, Father. Words of a man can't produce this, Father. But your prophet said we're not feeding on the words of a man, but we're feeding on the body word of the Son of Man. Oh, the unfailing body word, Father. Help it to be more than a book or a tape. Help it to be life to us, Father. Help it to be quickening power to your bride, Father, that we can raise up above all the criticism, that we can raise up above all the deception and the defection, Father, and all the hatred and bitterness, that we can rise above all that, Father, and just fly above the storm tonight, Jesus. Give your bride strength, Father. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for supplying our need tonight, Father. Oh, he's so much more. More than enough. You're so much more. You believe that tonight? He's more than enough for me. If you're bound tonight, you don't have to leave here bound. If you're sick tonight, you don't have to leave here sick. If you've got a problem in your life, maybe Satan's tried to lie to you, you don't have to leave that way tonight. God's delivering his people. Oh, my, I just feel his presence here. You say, oh, I got to work in the morning, Brother Nathan. Hey, we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about souls. We're talking about life here. You are with. And you supply all my needs. Oh, Lord, you're so much more. If you want to be seated tonight, you can. If you want to stand, you can. Let's just stay a little while and worship him. tonight. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Oh, I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is great. He's manifesting Himself. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Oh, I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Of the Lord is in this place. Amen. Are you witness to that tonight? Amen. God is so good. I love Him. I just see Him doing things that men can't do. Brother Ron can't do these things. Brother Nathan can't do these things. Brother Layton, Brother Trevor, Brother Morrissey, these brothers here, all we can do is just provide an atmosphere for Him to come. And then when He comes, lives can be changed. Amen. Let's sing this tonight before we go. I had it on my heart. Brother Ron was talking about his brand new home that he's going to get, so I'm going to sing about mine. Oh, there's a light in the window, and the table's spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. Friends, I can see that crystal river. Lord, we must be near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. Saints, it's just about home time. Oh, and I can see my Father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, but I'm ready for deliverance. Been this homesick before. Let's just think about those that's gone on. I can see my family gathered, those sweet faces all familiar. Oh, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Friends, this old lonesome heart is crying. Feel like spreading my wings for flying. Saints, I've never been this homesick before. Won't see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my Father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, Lord, I've never been this homesick. Let's sing it this way once more. Oh, I can see my family gathered, those sweet faces all familiar. Oh, but no one's old or feeble anymore. And this old lonesome heart is crying. Think I'll spread my wings for flying. Oh, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. Just about homecoming time. I can see my Father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, but I'm ready for some deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never. Let's sing it again together. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, I can see my Father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. God bless you. Dismissed. Service at 7:30 tomorrow night. Let's sing it as we go.